T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time for our weekly conversation with Peter King. Football Night in America, brought to you by Verizon Fios and by Always Health Partners. Peter joining us on the line right now. Hey, Peter, how are you?
What's going on, Dale? Hi, Rich. How you doing?
We're doing good. Great. Getting ready for a big baseball series this weekend, too.
Yeah, can Chris Sale pitch every inning?
I know, we're working on it. We're trying to. He weighs about $120. Probably not, but let's talk.
Dale, I got to ask you this question. What were you doing during the bottom of the ninth? Tell me exactly what you were doing.
I had gotten up from my recliner position and was sitting on the edge of my chair, both feet on the floor, and was holding a pillow very tightly. It was gut-wrenching.
I'm telling you, I'm out in San Francisco with family right now, and I didn't see that much of either game. But I saw the ninth inning, and I had to get up. I was walking around, and I debated whether I could even watch what was going on. It was totally, totally gut-wrenching.
It was that. The Sunday night football game this week might be the best game in the National Football League. They try to make it that way with the Chiefs visiting the Patriots. Is it the best game on the docket for you?
It really is. When I sort of look at games, I look at interesting matchups. And one of the things that makes this such a compelling matchup is that, you know, how many times has the NFL seen, you know, that next big thing, that next great quarterback come in to challenge the great Brady? And here he is. Here he comes. And obviously, the last two times the Patriots have faced the Chiefs with Alex Smith instead of Patrick Mahomes, they've scored in the 40s both times. So this is a weird little matchup. It's a strange challenge for the Patriots because the Chiefs have had their number recently, and you can't say that about many teams. Probably you can't say that about any team in the NFL. And here comes the next great thing, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
We've asked this question to a lot of our football guests, and the answer is pretty split. But right now, who do you think's the best tight end in football? Is it Gronk or is it Travis Kelce?
Well, if you ask me for one game, who would I take? I'd take Gronk. If you ask me who I would take for the season and the future, I'd probably take Kelce, just because I can trust Kelce to stay healthy. So, I mean, it's sort of two questions in one. I still think right now that Rob Gronkowski, both in his ability to be so physical and to be a matchup nightmare. Do you play him with Jalen Ramsey? Do you play him with Miles Jack? Do you play him with both? You know, I think he's more of a matchup problem than Kelce is. But I don't know how many games in an average year from here on out that he's going to play.
When you look at the quarterback play in the National Football League, it is an amazing stat out there. First of all, offenses are up everywhere, but quarterback rating is dramatically up. Tom Brady's not in the top 10 right now, with a number where last year I think he was third or fourth at this stage of the season. Has the NFL just made the determination that, like chicks dig the long ball, fans want points?
I mean, I guess they have. Dale, I think in the wake of last year when the ratings were down and Aaron Rodgers missed the last 9 games or 8 games, whatever it was, I think the NFL said, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're going to enforce illegal contact, and we're going to enforce more by the letter of the law what roughing the passer is. And I think what's interesting about this, I think if you gave the retired referees, the 4 guys who left the game this year, I think maybe with the exception of Ed Hockley, but if you gave the 3 guys who are working on TV now, Triplett, Steratore, and McCauley, if you asked them, basically how they would handle this, the roughing the passer thing, I think they would all say, we have no idea because it's a moving target. And I think when a rule is a moving target, it becomes a situation in the NFL where right now, I don't think anybody knows what it is. Now, oftentimes, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. Oftentimes, the NFL tries in the first few weeks of a season to lay down the law about whatever rule that they're trying to be serious about. And I, you could say that that's what they're doing right now, but it's not week 9 yet, so we can't tell whether the ridiculous roughing the passer calls are going to continue or not. But, Dale, I think that's leading to it. It's interesting. I spent some time yesterday down at the 49ers with Joe Staley, who I've known for a while. He's a 12-year left tackle, you know, one of the best offensive linemen over the last decade in football. One of the things he said is he introduced the whole, and I've heard this in other places but not from players, he introduced the whole fantasy football element. That don't you love it when your quarterback scores whatever the, you know, 35, 40 points in a fantasy football Sunday? It makes you excited. And I think the NFL is pretty good with that because of 43 million people every Sunday having some interest in the games because of fantasy football. So I think it's all sort of combined together. But I think I'm not saying the game is irretrievably changed, but I think the game is going so far to the offensive side that if they don't make a correction, I think a lot of these games are going to be like the college football games and end up being 59-42.
Well, then you also get the sense that a lot of these records won't really stand for long. And Drew Brees just broke the passing yards record, and who knows how long he'll have it, but he has it for now. Where do you see him, or what group is he in as far as all-time quarterbacks? That argument has come out whether he's top 5, top 10, or maybe even outside the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, first, I think you have to recognize 2 points. Number one, I really think that we're in the dawn of another new kind of era around the NFL. And that is that quarterbacks are going to take care of themselves better than they ever have been. So along with practicing less wear and tear on your arm and less times getting hit. I mean, Carson Wentz got injured around last December 10, whenever it was. And basically for the next 9 months, he was never hit by another human being. And now he's playing football again, 9.5 months, really. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that that's a little bit different than the way it used to be when teams would practice twice a day in the summer. And almost naturally, your quarterback, you'd have a red shirt on him, but your quarterback's going to get hit a little bit. Your quarterback is going to play in the preseason a lot more than they are now, and he's going to get hit in the preseason. And now quarterbacks, I think a lot of them, whether they'd admit it or not, are emulating Tom Brady. I do think that the longevity factor is interesting. Now, let me say one thing about Brees. You know, Peyton Manning sort of limped to the finish line at age 40. Brett Favre at age 40, I think maybe the heart was willing, but the body wasn't. He ended being concussed and not playing well that final year. He was done. But look at Drew Brees right now. I mean, really, not to dwell on fantasy football, but if you had a fantasy football lineup to set this week, and I don't even know who they're playing off the top of my head, but I don't know who they're playing, but if you had a fantasy football lineup to set this week, you might play Drew Brees. I mean, he is still ridiculously on target. He's going to turn 40 in January. It's not out of the realm of possibility that two consecutive guys age 40 playing quarterback could be MVP in the NFL. So that has changed. So when you say who might break his record, I'm sure someone will, but he might not be playing in the NFL right now because the way the game is now, I think Drew Brees easily could throw for 85,000 yards. All he has to do is be healthy for the next couple of years, and Sean Payton is his coach. As far as where he stands, I'd probably put him lower in the top 10. Mm-hmm. But it's a real tricky thing, because then what do you do with Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, and all the guys who traditionally you have felt should be there somewhere, you know, 8, 10, 12. Breeze is muscling himself in there.
There's a story in the Daily Mail in London about Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's trying to complete purchasing Wembley Stadium. And according to these reports, the Jaguars have already committed to playing one home game a year in London for several years. He wants to play at least four and maybe even play all eight in London, basing his team in Jacksonville, but playing the games in London. Is he serious about this?
I mean, I've heard for a couple of years that he wants to make more of an entry into London. And Dale, a long time ago, this was 5 years ago, he said to me that he was interested in playing two games in London. And that didn't really get that much attention. But in the off season, I think the story that received the least attention but was the most interesting is the fact that Shad Khan was trying to buy Wembley Stadium. Well, look at this. Look at it this way. The NFL has gone into business with Tottenham in building a stadium that can be both an NFL stadium and a soccer stadium, and they can play on back-to-back days, NFL football, EPL soccer. So that is the NFL did that to pave the way eventually for a team to go there. If Shad Khan is trying to buy Wembley Stadium, I think he and everybody there can say whatever they want about how, hey, we're just doing this. It's a business thing. It's an investment. But, Dale, I was a little surprised when I saw that story, but not shocked, because I think any person who is a businessman, who's a business person, would look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and say they could certainly do better financially somewhere else. And to be the lone team in London, whether that even works or not now when they're competitive, I think it's fairly logical. Now, what isn't logical, and I don't think the people in Jacksonville would stand for it at all, is not playing any games in Jacksonville or playing very few games there and being based there and playing most of their games in London. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Through the first 5 weeks of the season, which team has been the most surprising to you compared to what you thought going into the year?
The Chiefs. Because I thought that even though Patrick Mahomes, I thought more probable than not he was going to be pretty good, I had no idea he would be as dynamic and explosive, both on the run and in the pocket, that he has been. I think they're number one. I think the team that has surprised me in a negative sense is the Eagles, which is kind of logical because obviously they've they've underachieved, but what has really surprised me is that, you know, this is a team that hasn't scored 24 points in a game yet. And it's clearly, they haven't, you know, done a facelift on their team. Their quarterback is back. And the last 3 weeks you've watched him, he's been okay. And so I guess you say, okay, he's still getting used to playing after knee surgery, and I get that, but they have not been able to do anything well. Now they're without Jay Ajayi. I think Howie Roseman, to try to save their season, could well go hard after a running back like LeSean McCoy. If I were him, I would, because both teams involved in a deal like that in Buffalo and Philadelphia would have been very aggressive in reshaping their rosters. But we'll see. It's just been, I think as surprising in a positive sense that Kansas City has been, I've been that surprised in Philadelphia in a negative sense.
Final question before we let you go. You wrote about the Sean McVay call against Seattle and trying to decide whether to go for it on fourth and half a yard, no timeouts left for Seattle, all of that stuff. And you said it was a gutsy call and a smart move. Back in 2009, when Bill Belichick went for it on fourth and two, you hated the call then. Why the change?
Well, I think we know more about football analytics now. And in my opinion, especially where they were on the field. And he called it 6 inches. I called it a half yard. I think, number one, there's a difference in making whatever that was versus making 2 yards. But I think there's a good chance today I'd have felt differently about Belichick, because I have sort of gone to school on what NFL coaches have done and should have done, especially in the wake of what Doug Peterson did last year, for a very simple reason. If you apply all of the logic to it, and I'd have to, I certainly remember thinking that that was a, that was an awful call by Belichick. I'd certainly have to go back and think of all of the variables involved. But I think his point was, we can't stop them. So unless we keep possessing the ball, they're just going to go down the field, which I understand. And I do think that, you know, because I use Pro Football Focus a lot, I use their analytics, I think they'd probably go back in time and look at the Bill Belichick call and say, certainly, there's a better than 50% chance that that's the call he should have made, because they would have taken into account the fact that the New England defense probably couldn't have stopped Peyton Manning. And I think in this particular case, because the Rams offense right now is state of the art in the NFL, to get a half yard or however long, however much it was at that point of the game, knowing that, you know, if you give the ball back to Seattle, all they have to do is kick a field goal to win. I do think that it was a risk well worth taking for McVay. And Dale, I think you're right in bringing that up, because I do think that I'd have to look at it again, but I think I probably would have a different feeling now, because I've got some newfound respect for the analytics of the game.
I know you're in San Francisco to meet your newest granddaughter. Congratulations to the entire family.
Hey, really appreciate that, Dale. Good of you to say. And little Hazel June King is a charming little kid.
They always are at that age, Peter. Trust me. We appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All the best, guys.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King joining us from San Francisco, where he's meeting his newest granddaughter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.